First, let's carry out. All right, here are today's top stories. Did you know that the president has a Twitter account and he likes to play fast and loose on the social media platform? Recently, I don't know, today, yesterday, 3 months ago, who knows, the president tweeted about how Amazon was ripping off the post office and they should pay more for shipping the packages. The only problem is that everyone from experts to the White House itself have apparently told the president that he has his facts wrong and that, yes, Amazon does get a discount, but that's good for the economy because they ship so much through the Postal Service that everyone is making money. Because if their prices were raised, they would find another shipping client, probably their own, and all prices would probably go up and that would hurt the economy. That's the kind of news you don't want to tell the stock market, which reacted by losing a ton of points, especially from the tech sector, and well, I hope you weren't retiring tomorrow. All this over what some are saying is a personal grudge between the president and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Bezos owns the Washington Post as well. And Forbes reported that Amazon has also cut into the president's business interest, real estate and retail. And he's lost millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in the last 2 years alone. So again, I hope you aren't cashing out on your 401k tomorrow because it seems that the president's personal and business interests may have put in front of yours. In other words, draining the swamp. If that swamp was your retirement account. I'm waiting to hear from the president about these allegations, mostly because it seems like an easy thing for him to debunk, right? And show us your math. And it better not be math provided by your math teachers, FedEx and UPS, who both would love to see the post office raise the rates on Amazon because they can raise the rates on us. Who loses? So again, explain, president, preferably in more than 140 characters. Cool? Okay. Locally today, a judge struck down a pension deal that was negotiated by the city for the Park District back in 2014. The judge said it was unconstitutional and that the pension holders should get the money they were promised when they signed up. This is a huge mess because the Park District somehow didn't save any money and only have 39% of the entire pension fund funded, down from 44% before this quote-unquote deal was struck. I thought the concept was you would get money if we made a deal. No? Good work. Maybe they're using the same math guy that the president's using. I don't know. So I don't even know if they have the money for this. And worse, the mayor touted this plan back in 2014 as the future of how we will do pensions in this city and this country. The model, the gold standard, the we're screwed. And it's not just the Park District. Guess who will have to bail out the Park District? Huh? Pete Zimmerman, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go through the phone book. Everybody who lives in the Chicago area is going to be bailing out the Park District. See this weird story? The disgraced and indicted Trump campaign staffer George Papadopoulos was at Hydrate over the weekend, spilling secrets to randos at the bar. Yeah, he and his wife were at the famed gay bar. Okay. And a rando asked him about whether or not the Russian investigation was the real deal. And Papadopoulos said, heck yeah. And then he implicated Jeff Sessions between Zima rounds. What are you doing, dude? Now, of course, this random dude he was talking to is talking. So, of course, this is being picked up as if it were fact. But excuse me if, A, I don't believe it, and B, I just don't care. Really? We're going to one-source this guy off a guy who's like, I swear, I was there. I was having a good time. I saw him. I'm like, you look familiar, man. What's up with Russia? Let me tell you something I've told nobody else. All right. That's exactly where it actually happens, probably. Last week, the Roseanne reboot scored big ratings, and it took 1 week for her to get in hot water. She's retweeting conspiracy theories that are this close to Pizzagate. Remember that? There's a theory out there that bigwigs in D.C. and Hollywood, I get all of them, are pedophile Richie Riches who sell children into sex slavery, i.e. Hillary's emails. Anyway, Roseanne tweeted that Trump was cleaning this up, breaking up the pedophile rings, and essentially being an all-around Batman. No source, of course, but when looking into it, there was no evidence that Wonder Trump had broken up anything, and actual human trafficking arrests were down since the administration took over. So, yeah. Welcome back, Connors. Anyway, the first episode was good enough for me to remember that I never liked the show much to begin with. Misplaced nostalgia. In weather, it's dumb. Just dumb out. In sports, the NCAA championship game is on, and besides that one nauseating coworker who picked Michigan and Villanova, nobody cares, right? Nobody cares because these two teams are just not the same as the charismatic Ramblers. Instead, you get a lot of NBA hype with a slice of, the dude from Berlin just went to Michigan for the great psych department? Come on. At least our big guy, he grew up in Algonquin. That's got to mean something, right? There's something great when the underdog wins it all because in college basketball, the system is so rigged against the underdog from the onset. It rarely even matters what happens on the court. But that changed this week. This month. Now, you've actually said, I wonder if Loyola will be good again next year. Instead of maybe, I don't know, getting a Rambler highlight at the end of Gian Greco's sports report, the Chicago area might be treated with highlights in the middle of the cast. Dare I say at the top? So even though the Ramblers didn't win at all, they upset the apple cart in this town. And in this what-have-you-done-for-me-lately sports news environment, the Ramblers already won. And the kid was from Algonquin. Done. Awesome. And check out Kevin Powell's awesome picture he posted right after the game. He was courtside, and he took a picture of Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson walking off the court in San Antonio, arm in arm, jersey overhead, hiding their emotion. It's such a great picture, and he's got a gazillion likes on it. It's probably on his social media, which I'm sure it's Kev Eats Ribs. I don't know what it is, but go find it. It's a great picture and a great memory. Thank you very much. Loyola Ramblers. Baseball also started while we were gone, and it's been so far. The Cubs have gone cold much earlier than usual. They usually reserve this for the NLCS, but the bats are super cold right now, and the pitching has been mediocre, and that usually means you're going to lose to the Reds. So the Cubs are now 2-3. Tyler Chatwood pitched well today, but he got the loss. I wouldn't worry about it. It's early. It's cold. It's April. Only a fool gets too excited in April. The Sox! Oh, they were undefeated. Now it's over. They lost tonight. The streak is dead. I can't even talk about it. Ronaldo Lopez pitched awesome, holding the Blue Jays to one run over six. Then the Sox bullpen, some dude named Farquhar. Okay. He gave up three runs in about an inning, and we're back to rebuilding. Good game for Wellington Castillo. Hit two home runs, 3-for-4 for Jose Abreu. The Bulls were sloppy last night. They beat the Wizards. That's no. What are you doing? You don't win this late into the season with this much on the line. To respond, Garpak shut down Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine for the season. That'll teach us. I mean, them. If the season ended today, they'd get the 8th overall pick in the draft. So they have two games coming up with Brooklyn. So I can't wait to see those two teams right now, separated by a game, try to both lose. The Tank Challenge. We should call it the Tank Invitational. We should call it the I Can't Believe This Is the Same Team That Once Had Michael Jordan on It Championships. Ugh. The Bears gearing up for the draft at the end of the month. Right now, the Bears can afford to take the best player available with the 8th overall, which would be an offensive lineman, a safety, or a linebacker. Interesting story developing here. Nobody wants the safeties available in free agency. Led by Eric Reed, the 26-year-old former 49er who excelled under Vic Fangio back in the day. And, just random thing at the bottom of his resume, he also protested the flag and he kneeled next to Colin Kaepernick. 26-year-old Pro Bowl safety. I'd take him. You know he's got good knees. He had bad knees, he wouldn't be kneeling. He's like, I can't do it. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do the fist thing instead because I got bad knees. Also, Brian Urlacher picked Bob Babich to introduce him at the Hall of Fame. Boring pick. Yeah. I mean, sure, I'm sure they're tight, and I'm sure he meant a lot to them, but come on, think about us. Think of Flair. And finally tonight, it was 9 years ago today that the Bears made the big trade for Smokin' Jay Cutler. How about that, huh? Think of all the joy he's given this town. The miserable, despondent, depressing, disrespectful, painful, awful, no good, hopeless joy. Rest in peace, Jay. Oh, he's not dead? No, he's dead to me. All right, that's the carryout for April 2nd, 2018. It's April and it's 30 degrees out, so that tropical fruit salad on the menu, it's just root vegetables. Gotta get this root of it. All right, coming up. Tell us about your vacation, 312-981-7200. You just come back from spring break, or just tell us about your best vacation ever. Also, we'll talk with Buck Meek, and we'll hand it over to Patty at 11 o'clock. It's a download, 720 WGN. Stay with us.